Hi, my name is Susan Ibach. I'm a technical evangelist here at Microsoft Canada, and I want to talk a bit about the design aspects of building an online resume. So you've hopefully already looked at some of the other tutorials on how to set up DreamSpark with Azure, so you have somewhere to host an online resume, how to use WordPress to physically create the pages and so on for your online resume. Now let's talk a bit about some of the do's and don'ts of the content, the design of the online resume itself. The first rule of creating an online resume is don't just cut and paste your paper resume. When you create a resume on paper, you've probably taken some resume workshops or had some background on them, and one of the things they always say is, hey, tailor it to the job application. Great advice with paper resumes and individual applications. But the thing is, with an online resume, you're only going to have one online resume that'll be read by all potential employers. So you need to make it a little more generic when you're designing it, and you want to take advantage of the online format. There's things you can do online that you can't do with a paper resume. Simple example, you've probably been told never have a resume that's more than one page or two pages, depending on who you talk to. Well, what is one page when you're on the web? One page could be longer, shorter, and you can have multiple pages or hyperlinks on the web. You can't do that in a paper resume the way you can with something online. So take advantage of that online resume and think of it as a complement to your paper resume. And remember, any employer could be reading it. So probably not a good idea to apply to a job at one company talking about how much you love the other company. You can, of course, have a link to view your printable resume from the online resume if you want. Sometimes somebody will discover you online first and they want to be able to access your paper resume. Sometimes they get your paper resume first and want to be able to get to your online resume. So you want to support both scenarios. One of the most important things you can do with an online resume is provide links to the work you've done. Showcase your capabilities, things you've done in the past. If you're a coder and you've published any apps or you've built any websites, include links to that work so I can actually see it as your potential employer. If you helped organize a conference, have a link to the conference you helped organize. If you were on an internship and you helped build a website, provide a link to that website. Don't worry, I know if you provide a link to a website and it was on an internship, it doesn't have to be something you built entirely. In an interview, you can tell me which parts you were responsible for. If you've written some blog posts or some articles, give me links to those to show me examples of your written work. Or if you had to do a class project, or there was a video of you presenting something for your capstone project, have a link right to that video. It's a great way to really showcase your skills and what you've done. If you're a coder and you've shared code on Git, give me a link to the code on Git. But just to be prepared, I might download it and look at your actual code. But what better way to showcase everything you're really capable of than giving me access to it through your online resume? So this is one of the most important things you can do. Now, one of the other things you have to watch out for is not to have a paper resume that says one thing and an online resume that says another. You go carefully tailor your resume for a particular company, but then the online resume says something completely different. Your paper resume says, hey, Google's awesome. And then when they go to your online resume, it says, I love Microsoft. Well, wait a second, which is true? As an employer, if I see that, then I'm confused. One of two things is happening. Either you don't know what you like, or are you lying to me just to say what I think you want me to hear? So be careful to make sure that when you do have paper and online resumes, but they don't present two very different people. So that can be a bit of a challenge and something you need to figure out. Of course, you should really just be saying, I love Microsoft about everything. Something else you want to do, especially as a coder, is list your programming languages. Generally, you want to list them from the most proficient, whatever you're strongest at, to the ones you're weakest at. Now, I am seeing a trend in resumes lately. It's sort of an interesting one where people are ranking their coding skills from 1 to 10. Neat idea, and you can do some clever visual things. I've seen people who have like 10 stars and they fill out 5 of the 10 stars or 7 of the 10 stars, but that's a very, very risky thing to do on a resume because if you tell me you're a 9 out of 10 in C++, first of all, I'll tell you my reaction to that is I don't believe you. To me, to be a 9 out of 10 on C++, wow, you've got to be one heck of a coder. You walk into an interview, I'm going to start grilling you on C++ to try and prove you're not a 9. That's how I'd react, but different employers will react differently. Maybe somebody else thinks a 9 out of 10 is what you should be on C++, and if you're anything less than a 9 out of 10, I don't want to interview you. But in the end, what is a 9 out of 10? What's a 7 out of 10? What does that actually mean? Does that mean you know how to do polymorphism and interfaces and proper memory allocation and deallocation? What does a 9 out of 10 mean? So it's very risky to rank yourself a 7, an 8, or a 9 out of 10 if no one knows what the scale is, what a 7 is versus an 8. Employers might misinterpret that. You're better off listing the programming languages you know, the projects you've worked on, and how you used and what programming languages you used on the different projects. Trust me, if we get to an interview, I'll ask you about what you know in that programming language, if that particular one's important. So it's a little dangerous to rank from 1 to 10. You can do it, but just be aware that it's very hard to understand what a 7 out of 10 means versus a 6 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10. And if you're listing a 1 out of 10, I'd probably take it off the resume. Something else you'll want to do in your online resume is make sure you include contact information. And make sure you include an email address that is going to be you'll be accessing when you're not at school. So let's say you're on a school holiday or a summer break or a winter break. I want to make sure that if I send you an email, you're still going to get it. So you don't want to miss out on an opportunity just because you're out of school and not checking your school email. So whatever contact information you provide, make sure it's one you're going to check even outside of school time. You probably want to include links to social media that presents you professionally. You might have something like a Facebook account. Facebook accounts are typically more personal and just hanging out with friends and don't always present the most professional side of you. So you may even want to go set the privacy settings on some of your social media so that an employer doesn't find those accounts and start looking through those accounts, but you don't want them to see. It's not necessarily saying something terrible about you, but you know, let's focus in on the social media that shows you professionally, and if there are some that are purely personal, you may want to go change your privacy settings so the employer doesn't see them. If you do have a LinkedIn profile, make sure that your LinkedIn profile is up to date and is also sort of consistent with your online resume. Again, keeping with that idea of always presenting the same person, so I get a consistent presentation of who you are and what you can do. Pay attention to details. If you have a friend who's every time you give them a slide deck starts tweaking your slide deck, changing colors and modifying your fonts for you, go take that friend, offer to buy them lunch in exchange for fixing up your online resume so it looks really nice. This is the place to be really nitpicky about how things look. It's kind of weird, but basically you can't score any points with an employer because your online resume looks nice, but you can lose points if it doesn't look nice or if you've done something like spelling mistakes. When I get a pile of resumes, if I've got 1,000 resumes to make my way through, basically the first thing I have to do is I have to narrow that down to about 100 before I can even think about doing interviews. The easiest way to take someone to put them in the no pile is spotting a spelling mistake. So I see a spelling mistake, that's just such an easy way to say, yeah, I've got to get from 1,000 to 100, that goes in the no pile. So have somebody nitpicky go through and check it. Another trick is to read your own resume backwards. You're more likely to catch spelling mistakes that way. Pick a font that's easy to read and looks professional. That's also matters. Said the look and feel of the site matters. You can't score points for looking good, but you can lose points for making it look ugly, which is why I have to get friends to help me out. I'm not very good at the online design. You can use colors and photos to make an impression. But again, be careful with the colors. Make sure they complement each other, nothing too gaudy and bright. And make sure that the font color is easy to read against the background, you know, white against black. You don't want something white against a light blue background that's hard to read. Something else neat you can do with an online resume that you just can't fit into a paper resume is the idea of testimonials. Maybe you got a glowing report on your last work term from your manager. Why not take that quote and have a page on your online resume? One page for job history, one job page for projects, and one page of testimonials, quotes from a volunteer organization you helped with saying awesome things about you. It's great when you say great things about you, but even better when someone else says great things about you. One thing I would point out, it's not a bad idea to ask, it's a courtesy to ask somebody permission before you put quotes from them onto your website. But generally, people won't mind. The other thing you got to watch out for is don't create your resume and forget it. Hey, you're sitting here watching this video. You do this and you say, hey, you know, I got some time this weekend. I'm going to create my online resume. A year and a half from now, you go and apply for another job and you still have a link to this online resume, but you haven't updated it in a year and a half. Technology changes and the skills you have change. Make sure you update it. I'd actually suggest setting up a calendar reminder so that at the end of each semester, every 4 to 6 months, you go update your resume. If you update it as you go, it won't take that long. Something else you can try to do through your online resume is show me how you learn and grow. Doesn't matter who I'm hiring for a job, one of the things is the job is going to change over time. If I'm at Microsoft, well, 2 years ago, it was all about Windows 8. Now it's all about Windows 10. So I might have hired somebody 2 years ago who was an expert in Windows 8 apps, but I know in 2 years, I'm going to need them to learn how to build Windows 10 apps. And then you're going to have to learn how to build whatever comes next. So I need somebody who I know is going to be able to teach themselves after they join the job without necessarily going to a class to learn. How do you learn by yourself? So if you have ever taught yourself something outside class by watching video courses or going to hackathons, highlight those skills in your resume. Because you know what? As an employer, it's really important that we know that if you need to learn something new, you can do that and that you're capable of learning independently. That's a very valuable skill. So if you can demonstrate that, that's a good thing to highlight. Provide team player examples. Everybody says, I'm a team player. Well, yeah, but where were you a team player? And another important thing about this is you don't have to say you were the team leader. You know, sometimes I'm going to need you to step up and be a leader. Sometimes I need you to be a follower. You know, if you're the first new person joining a team, chances are you won't be the senior team member. I may need you to be a follower before I need you to be a leader. So I need to know that you can step in as needed into different roles on a team. So if you've ever helped organize something or you worked on a capstone project, highlight to me that you worked in those team situations and what your role was. And don't feel like just because you weren't the team lead, it's not worth listing it. I need to know you can take on different roles as needed. Here's another simple little thing that'll make a difference. Provide a professional looking photo. And this is one of those simple things. Make sure you start with a high resolution picture and shrink it to a smaller file. Don't start with a small picture and make it bigger. Then you get that pixelated look. It doesn't look very professional. If you don't have access to a professional photo studio or a friend who's a professional photographer with all the lighting setups, how do you get a professional looking photo? Well, to be honest, these days, some of the phones, I'm not recommending you use your phone, but some of the resolution of phones these days will handle it. But if you take the picture outside on a cloudy day, you'll get very natural lighting and probably the most flattering lighting you can get. If it's a sunny day, then take it at dusk or take it at dawn. That gives you the most flattering sort of golden light for a picture. So that's an alternative if you don't have access to a professional studio. You can resize and edit the photo using tools such as Photoshop. Your school might actually have labs where there's Photoshop licenses on some of the machines, or you can check out some of the open source editing tools like GIMP. All these tips are summarized at this one URL, aka.ms/online-resume. You'll also find here a lot of information if you are interested specifically in jobs at Microsoft. There's a lot of information there. There's a link you'll find to about jobs at Microsoft, different types of jobs we have for different types of people. So this will give you everything you need to know. So now you know the do's and the don'ts of online resumes.